This week on Hyperspace Broadcast, an age-old battle begins anew. Optimus against Megatron, Transformer against Transformer, Cheetah against Pterodactyl. It's Beast Wars. Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Hyperspace Broadcast, a podcast where two old friends watch a program broadcast on Toonami and try to determine if it's worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And this week we're talking about Beast Wars Transformers, episodes 1 through 13, a strange addition to the Transformers franchise in that it's the first
3D.
One. Well, not only that, but also the first one that decided, hey, you know, previously Transformers transformed into machines of some variety, vehicles,
dinosaurs.
Yeah, I guess the dinosaurs don't really work with this, but in general, with the exception of those, you know, microscopes, they're all machines. But this series decided, hey, let's make them transform into just animals, like not even robot animals, just regular animals.
Just straight up animals, which I didn't expect. I thought, as trying to remember the show as a kid, it was like, I thought they were at least like somewhat robotic animals. No.
Yeah. Nope. Just
they're straight up fucked up CG looking animals.
Now, I think that later in the series, they have like more robotic animal forms, but I don't quote me on that. I'm not sure.
We'll get there. Huh?
Yeah. I just know that at some point it's known as Beast Wars Metals or whatever the hell, at which point they become metallic.
I think
those are a bit more robotic forms. But anyway, before we really begin, I just want to say that there is some maintenance happening on my roof, so it's possible that there will be noise from that that I can't really do anything about.
In Hyperspace Broadcast Studios?
Yeah, right.
No.
Here aboard the Absolution, there's some people clanking around on the outer hull.
Tom's having a dance party up there. We can't tell him to stop or else he'll kick us off the ship.
Yeah, right. We really don't have a choice.
And he's alone.
And I've just been, like, you know, hitting the roof of my room with a broom. But he just doesn't calm down. It's
fuck you guys.
Yeah, pretty soon I'm going to have to call the, I don't know, police, I guess. And
complain to Sarah.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Stupid Toonami references.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this. But Beast Wars, man. It's a show, incidentally, we did not know this until we actually started watching, produced by Mainframe Entertainment, the same people who made Reboot.
Yeah,
at least
I had no
the
idea.
CG version, which makes a lot of sense because it looks pretty much like Reboot. It doesn't look great, but you kind of get used to it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's something that is tangible. I call it the Mainframe effect, based off of Mainframe Entertainment. Because going back to these shows and looking at them is impossible at first. You look at it and you're just like, that is fucking horrifying. I could not sit through an episode of this. I can't handle it. And then when you're obligated to watch it for a podcast, you just grow used to it. Like,
yeah, when someone's holding a gun to your head.
Tom won't let us go.
Right.
We don't want to be here. To me, it was like tangible. Like I felt uncomfortable watching those first few episodes of this show where all I could think of is just like, this looks fucking horrible. The animals look really weird. The robots look even worse.
Yeah, somehow you would think they look better, but they don't.
The robot forms in the show are fucking crazy.
Yeah, they're bizarre. It's like, we should talk about that later. Yeah, I think that's, like, I have a decent amount of stuff to say about the weirdness of the robot forms and just some strange decisions in general with the show. But before
tell me about the characters.
Yeah, right. Before we get to that, we'll do the classic series primer sort of thing. So basically, Transformers, if you're not familiar, is about two factions of robots who transform into different things and punch each other, essentially. You're probably familiar because there's a live-action franchise that's ginormous and makes tons of money.
Right.
But Beast Wars is basically the same thing, except they transform into animals, and instead of Autobots and Decepticons, you have the Maximals and the Predacons, because at some point, like, this is in the far future of the Transformers world, so the two sides have kind of morphed into these new two sides, which are basically the same.
They're just the same.
Yeah, but, you know, animal themed instead.
Still an Optimus Prime and a Megatron.
Yeah, right. But the basic idea is that two ships, one of Predacons and one of Maximals, fight each other, and they go through this weird, like, portal, and then they crash land on a planet that is full of raw energon. And because it's full of raw energon, they can only be in their robot forms for certain amounts of time, so they scan the environment in order to see shit to transform into, and because there's basically no civilization on this planet, it's just a bunch of animals.
Yeah.
So, you know, they transform into animals. The Maximals are primarily mammals, while the Predacons are, like, reptiles and insects, for the most part.
Yeah, or pretty much entirely, right?
Yeah, I don't think... I don't want
entirely.
To say for certain, because there might be characters in the future that aren't.
Sure.
But
technically, there are arachnids that are not insects, right?
That's
stipulation?
True.
You know me, I've got to be super proper with fucking biology terms.
Yeah, right. Really, they're arthropods or reptiles.
Correct. Correct. Yes.
Right. So the characters.
Yeah.
So the Maximals are composed of Optimus Primal, who turns into a gorilla. You can see what they did there.
Yeah.
And he's the leader, and he's basically kind of an explorer and kind of a stern leader. Not necessarily a great leader. One of the things I kind of like about the show.
He's kind of incompetent.
Yeah, well, one of the things I kind of like about the show is that the, like, selection of Maximals that they have isn't, like, the, you know, high command badasses. It's just a bunch of random guys.
It's like a super dysfunctional group, too.
Yeah, right, exactly. So his second in command is Rat Trap, who has most ostentatious fake New York accent ever, transforms into a rat and is, like, kind of a super spy, but also a super coward. And he's voiced by Scott McNeil, who is the voice of Duo Maxwell and Piccolo. And he does some pretty awesome metal screams when he transforms.
Scott McNeil voices four major characters in the show.
Yeah, right.
Three of which are in this season so far.
Yeah, well, one of the things about this show, too, that's pretty enjoyable is, you know, it was made in Canada primarily, so it has a lot of Canadian voice actors. So there's a lot of cross-pollination with some of the other stuff we've watched.
Ocean dub stuff.
Yeah, primarily the ocean dub Dragon Ball Z and, Gundam Wing. Which is, I don't know, I enjoy hearing a voice and being like, that sounds vaguely familiar. Who is that? Oh, it's Bubbles from Dragon Ball Z, the cricket. Or wait.
No, Bubbles is a monkey.
Yeah, Bubbles is the monkey. Huh. All right.
Bubbles
weird.
Have a tail? Whatever.
Yes, he does, actually.
Cheetor is the next guy, and he's the hot-headed youngster of the group. He's just this cheetah man, and he's basically, like, to me, he's, like, the child of the group. Like, he's very childish and very, like, runs around and makes mistakes a lot and doesn't take anything seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely the, you know, young kid who still needs to kind of grow up a little bit.
He's not, like, Yuli young. He's not, like, Yuli Grayson.
He's, like, a
scale.
Teenager. He's a teenager kind of young guy. But then we've got Rhinox, who is the technician, and he transforms into a rhino, and he's just kind of the, you know, taciturn older guy, I guess. I don't really get a lot out of Rhinox. I don't really care for
him. I love Rhinox.
He's okay.
I like, cause he's kind of got this, he's kind of the elder of the group, sort of.
Yeah, sure.
But and I just think his animal form looks really silly because
they
always have him, like, it's just this doofy looking rhino.
Well, because it's a rhino that also, because he's the technician, occasionally carries like a tricorder around.
Yeah, it's just, he's got like just a remote control.
Really bizarre. Like,
in his paw hand, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't
in
know,
his weak foot. Like, Rhinox is pretty weird. So the other group of guys, the Predacons, are led by Megatron, who is a Tyrannosaurus, and he's actually a pretty competent leader, but he also has this verbal tic where he says, yes, a lot during his dialogue, or occasionally, no.
Yeah, when he says no, it drives me crazy. It's very rare, but sometimes. Yeah, like he fills his dialogue with a lot of unnecessary yeses, that
yeah,
being
right.
Like, not in reply to something. He's not replying.
Yeah, of
yes.
course. He's just
like,
kind of saying it to himself about a thing that he just said. Like,
yeah. And then we'll lure the Maximals into a trap. Yes.
Yeah, he's very much responding to himself most of the time.
Yeah.
But he has a great voice. Just in general, it's a really good villain voice. And he is not the same Megatron from G1, of course. He's just a different guy, also named Megatron, also an evil Transformer. So, I don't know. Figure that out, I guess. There is another character called Dinobot, who is pretty interesting, mostly in that he defects to the Maximals at the end of the first episode. Well, basically, at the end of the first episode, he challenges Optimus Primal to a fight for leadership of the Maximals, and then he, you know, loses, but has mutual respect, etc. He joins the Maximals. So he is a Velociraptor who's, like, very much a soldier, and his arc is basically about adapting to the Maximal way of doing things, which is to say, like, concepts like mercy, which Predacons don't really give a shit about.
And he's the one who kind of brings everyone at each other's throats all the time.
Yeah, right, because no one trusts him because he's a Predacon. Like,
yeah, but he's also, like, honorable in some way and still, like, a competent part of the team.
Yeah, right. Dinobot's pretty cool. Scorponok is a scorpion guy who's super loyal to Megatron, and he's dumb and incompetent, basically. That's his whole character. He has a really normal-sounding voice compared to the rest of the Predacons, which is funny.
Imagine seeing a scorpion and being like, but Megatron!
Yeah, he just... Like, every other character has this really distinctive voice on the Predacon side. Either some crazy screeching, or, like, Megatron's ultra-smooth, like, midnight DJ voice, or, or, like, Waspinator's crazy, barely comprehensible buzzing voice.
Yeah.
And then you just got Scorponok sitting there. He just kind of sounds like a dad who stumbled into the recording studio. There is also Tarantulas, who's obviously a tarantula and is kind of a mad scientist sort of dude. Terrorsaur, who is the Starscream of this group, basically. He's trying to usurp Megatron constantly, trying to make deals in order to get control of the Predacons because he thinks he's more competent, and he is a pterosaur of some kind.
And he screeches like crazy.
Yes, he is quite the screecher.
Sometimes you'll see him, like, walking in his bird form, and he just kind of hops along. It looks really stupid.
Yeah, right. Then finally we've got Waspinator, who is Pterosaur's partner, and that they both fly. Waspinator is kind of a, I don't know, butt monkey. Like, he is constantly...
What?
He's just constantly the butt of the joke, and, like, getting screwed up. Basically, if anyone's going to get the shit shot out of them, it's going to be Waspinator, usually by Rhinox, who has a giant, weird kind of Gatling gun. Waspinator gets his shit kicked in a lot.
Waspinator looks exactly like Buck Bumble from a stupid N64 game.
Sure, yeah. And he also has this, like, buzzy voice. He's pretty hard to understand. And also voiced by Scott McNeil, so that's fun.
Yeah, and so is Dinobot. We didn't mention that. Three major characters.
Yep, so far. And totally then another one who's yet to be introduced. So that about does it for the plot and the, like, main characters of the show. For the most part, the episodes don't stick to any consistent arc. I mean, so far, from what I understand, there are more arcs later in the show. But
yeah,
as of right now, it's mostly kind of self-contained stuff with the Maximals and the Predacons both kind of vying for control of the planet. And also, they're stranded here, of course. Their ships have crashed and they can't, you know, go home at any point. And also, there's this indication that there might be some, you know, sentient civilization, because there's like a Stonehenge structure that plays a big part in one episode and then they just kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
So who knows what that means exactly, but
I don't even really know what they're doing on the planet. Like, besides, I guess it's just like they're trying to get off the planet, trying to get unstranded.
But they can't. Like,
yeah. So, but they kind of try and take control of the planet, sort of, but it's not like really clearly defined. There's not some big thing that they're trying to take control of. So it's like these two factions sniping at each other while they dick around on this planet.
Yeah, it's kind of like Gilligan's Island, if Gilligan's Island was made of two warring factions who are constantly like
it's so much better.
We're constantly screwing with each other instead of trying to get off the island.
I'm sure that was the pitch for Beast War.
Yeah. But yeah, for the most part, it's not super clear what they're actually doing. I mean, the Maximals are technically like an explorer ship. So Optimus Primal goes around exploring sometimes and like cataloging plants, for example, in one episode. But for the most part, you know, they just kind of hang around and the Predacons plot against them and then they fight. And when I say fight, I mean they all stand in a line and shoot at each other because, you know, it's super early computer animation, so making them move around while they're fighting would be a pain in the ass. So they just kind of stand there.
It's a lot of shots of them shooting into the camera, you know?
Right,
so you don't have to see, like, them hitting each other, but you just kind of imagine it.
Yeah, right, and they never really hit each other, even though they're never behind cover for the most part.
I mean, they don't really hit each other with the bullets. They do beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, of course, because they're robots, every once in a while, one will just get their head knocked off or something.
Yeah,
because, you know, they're robots. It's not violent. It's just like Rock'em Sock'em robots kind of shit.
None of them die, no matter what.
Yeah, of course.
Even when they get completely decimated.
Yeah, Scorponok at one point is crushed to a pulp, kind of terrifyingly. Like, you see his head slowly being crushed under a giant crate, and then they just kind of put him in a, like, Bacta tank, and he's just fine.
Yeah, in the healing vat.
Yep, he's just all Megatron new, gets all better.
Megatron gets completely cut to pieces, and then they're just like, yeah, throw him in the vat.
Right, he does. He just gets blown to pieces.
It's like, how the fuck do you kill these dudes?
Apparently you can't. So this war will just go on forever, basically.
Great.
Because they won't be able to leave. I don't know if Transformers age and die of old age or anything.
Old circuits.
Yeah, right. The Thundaren funeral where they just kind of disappear one day. Like, what happened to Optimus? But who knows? They can't kill each other.
They turn black when they die. That's what happened with Optimus Prime.
Oh, yeah. Like grayscale. Yeah, in the movie. Yeah, that's true. I kind of forgot about that. But he got shot to death. You know, it's not like he just aged out of transforming. Of course. And of course, there are some other characters that are introduced along the way who are kind of just recolors of existing characters.
I didn't realize Black Arachnia is pretty much Arachnia.
Yeah, Tarantulas. But like slightly different designs.
Her Dinobot design's different because it's a woman and she has huge robot boobs.
Yeah, right. Of course. But for the most part, it's like slightly different designs, different enough that I can't quite call them just palette swaps, but they're very close. And, you know, it's
Tigatron.
Yeah, Tigatron, white tiger.
Like who is strangely voiced by a guy who was in G-Savior.
Yeah, right. Voiced by the by Counselor Graves in G-Savior, which blew my mind when I found that out. Because,
blew your mind.
Canada.
That's the dude's name. His name's Blue Mankuma.
It's fun to see the cross-pollination of what I imagine is not an immense pool of Canadian voice acting.
It's all Canada, dude.
Yeah, right. I wonder why G-Savior's
Canada.
But at any rate.
Did they have like the, they had like, because they have, it's cheaper to film in like Toronto and stuff. I don't know if they had that legally at that point.
Yeah, I'm sure they had some kind of incentive.
Yeah. Government incentive.
That's generally how that stuff works. But
yeah,
at any rate, we should probably get to our Zeniths and Nadirs. So, Peter, what was your favorite episode of this?
My favorite episode was episode 12, entitled Victory. And I really like this because this whole episode is like, it's just kind of a weird what-if scenario where the Maximals kind of hack into their video feed of the Predacons and just watch them basically just fuck up and blow themselves up.
Yeah, right, because Terrorsaur is trying to rebel and then they, you know, shoot a raw energon crystal and it blows up.
And the rest of the episode is like, or most of the rest of the episode is them like dealing with the idea that's like, what? Oh, like the war's suddenly over.
Yeah, now what do we do?
Yeah, and it actually has some like cool character dynamic stuff that breaks down mostly around Dinobot, because you know, instead of celebrating, the group kind of is like in conflict and suspicious of Dinobot because he's an ex-Predacon, and they're like, what do we do with him? I don't trust him. He's going to try and rebel. And he's all like, well, you can't take me back to Cybertron because I'll just be arrested. So I'll stay on this planet and be awesome and rule everything.
I'll just rule the animals. Yeah, I guess.
And also Dinobot seems to have like mixed feelings about seeing like the dead Predacons and stuff.
Mm. Including the greatest Shakespeare quote of all time. Yes. Alas, poor Tarantulas, I knew him Cheetor.
Yeah. I lost it when I heard that.
Yeah, no, that's
ridiculous.
That's crazy.
I knew him Cheetor. And he and Rattrap generally trade some good dialogue of just like conflict where it's like Rattrap's accusing him and he's like making comebacks. And he's like, oh, you're making comebacks now, just like me. there's like good dialogue in this episode that I liked. And then, of course, the Predacons are not dead. They're all like hiding.
Yeah,
and they
hacked into
the video feed.
It
was all a big ruse. They somehow just like made it look like they all exploded and died. The ending of this episode is pretty frustrating because, well, I have to wonder, for one thing, how this Predacon plot benefited the Predacons.
Yeah, no, it's pretty dumb because
they let the Maximals into their base, which is their crashed ship, to salvage parts to rebuild the ship to escape, and they don't do anything about it. So,
yeah,
that
and
seems
then,
like a pretty big loss.
Yeah, and then like Megatron's like, oh, we'll just attack them when they're launching, yes, because the you know, their guard will be down. But
yeah,
it doesn't matter that much. I mean,
yeah,
essentially, they launch and then the ship kind of crashes because Megatron was on board and he like blows up a control panel or some bullshit.
Yeah,
and
which is really frustrating. Like, they had this dramatic scene where it's like, Primal's like, I gotta go back out there and save Dinobot, he's in danger, while they're launching and they can't cancel the launch, so he like goes out and saves them and then runs back and barely is like holding on, dangling off of the ship as it's launching, and then he gets shot and falls, and it's like, oh shit, you know, there you see Primal falling to his, I guess, death.
Yeah, or at least his being left behind.
Yeah, and the ship's taking off. And at one point, I'm just like, oh, man, like, they're going to change the status quo of the show. It's going to be crazy.
12 episodes in, too. I was like, I honestly thought that things were going to change.
Some real shit's going to happen. And then Megatron just shows up on the ship, blows up a control panel. They start crashing. Optimus Prime flies out of nowhere with his jetpacks, because gorillas have jetpacks.
Yeah, right.
And
that all gorillas have jetpacks.
Of course, yeah. They're able to slowly, he's able to slowly lower the ship back to its exact location from where it originally crash landed, which is, like, extra just insulting.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean,
You guys couldn't fucking animate a new, like, slightly different background for the ship?
Yeah, right. If they'd crashed somewhere else, it would have been kind of neat, just because it would have been a change of scenery. But no, literally the exact same location.
And that, like, I was just like, oh my god, this ending. But still, like, overall and everything leading up to that was really good. What was your zenith?
I'm going to have to go with episode 8, Double Jeopardy, which is basically an episode where the Maximals have been getting ambushed repeatedly on missions. One of the plot things that I probably should have mentioned is that before the Maximals crash, they release a bunch of stasis pods. In other words, new characters to come in when it's convenient, and the Predacons can reprogram the pods to be Predacons, so when a pod crash lands, both factions have to, like, race to it to get to it first, and then whoever gets to it first gets a new character slash action figure. So in this episode, it starts off with Terrorsaur and Waspinator capturing a pod, and then Optimus is like, oh, we've been ambushed, you know, 4 or 5 times in a row now. They must have some informant or whatever. And somehow immediately decides that it's Rat Trap. Like, there's no even entertainment of the thought that it might not be him. It's just like, Dinobot's like, it's probably Rat Trap. And Optimus says, yeah, you're right. Rat Trap, get out of here. Or
you're right, Dinobot, rather, who hates Rat Trap.
Yeah, or rather, go on a suicide mission to prove that you are totally loyal to us.
This is one of the episodes where it's like, no, Primal's kind of a bad leader.
Yeah, right. So Rat Trap goes out and ends up getting captured, but he decides to turn traitor, quote unquote, in order to save his own skin, which is great because it leads to a scene where Terrorsaur, the guy who captured him, is like speechifying about how he's going to be the leader now because he just captured this Maximal. And in the, like, behind him, Rat Trap's in a cage and he's just like doing all these gestures, like wagging his finger back and forth, like, in no. And it's so weird and hilarious. But anyway, of course, it's all a fucking scam by the Maximals because Rat Trap was never in doubt of being a traitor. He's just put into the Predacon base because he's super spy. So he infiltrates and basically finds the thing that was actually allowing the Predacons to spy on them, destroys it, and then they recover him and they all kind of run off.
There's one moment I really liked in this episode. I think it's Tarantulas, like, after Rat Trap is revealed that he's actually still a Maximal, Tarantulas is in the middle of doing his transformation. By the way, every time they transform, they have to say name and then a verb related to either faction. So if you're a Maximal, you say maximize. If you're a Predacon, you say terrorize. So he's in the middle of saying, Tarantulas, terrorize! And then in the middle of him saying that, Rat Trap just shoots him. And it was pretty great. Like, the timing was really amazing.
Especially this show has surprisingly good timing for some of their jokes, actually.
Like, yeah, and no one had really, like, made fun of that aspect of the show yet. That everyone has to announce that they're transforming.
Yeah, which in the first episode is insane because they all announce one after another in just a parade. It's ridiculous.
It's like Sailor Moon transformation.
Yeah, the other thing this episode has going for it is the introduction of Black Rachnia, who is pretty badass in her first appearance, just doing, like, martial arts stuff, and I don't remember who exactly she kicks in the face and totally beats, but it's somebody, and it's pretty neat.
Pterodon.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. They're all kind of just there, but she beats someone up, and it's pretty cool. Like, she's a pretty badass character off the bat. Of course, the whole Optimus thinking that Rat Trap's a traitor thing doesn't really make sense, and it's kind of obvious that it's all a ploy.
Yeah,
like, pretty immediately, but you know, it's for kids, so that's a pretty pointless thing to complain about.
Yeah, sure.
What about your least favorite?
Yeah, my least favorite was... It was actually kind of hard to choose.
Yeah, in other words, take a drink.
Yeah, sure.
It's too hard to choose.
Yeah, right.
The meme of this podcast, but sorry, go on.
I chose episode one, Beast Wars Part 1, and most of this is because of what I call the mainframe effect, which I mentioned earlier.
Right, yeah.
Just the horror of originally seeing these graphics, which are kind of horrifying, and like, and seeing the characters transform into these animal forms that look fucked up and walk around really weirdly and incorrectly, I might say.
sure.
It, like, I don't know, man. Dinobot has really fucked up shoulders, and he's like in his pterodactyl form. The robot forms are very strange. I understand you'll talk more about that later, but good God, like, they're really bizarre to look at. And in general, it wasn't like super entertaining as a first episode. It's just like, okay, they crash land. It's pretty boilerplate.
Yeah, it's very much a setup episode. Like,
yeah,
it's not that exciting or interesting. Of course, in part two is when it kind of becomes interesting, because that's when Dinobot joins the Maximals. And that's probably the most interesting thing the show's done so far.
Yep. Well, what about your least favorite?
Yeah, mine's going to have to be episode 9. It's a better mousetrap, which it isn't really a bad episode. Basically,
yeah, I actually like that one.
Yeah, basically, Waspinator, Pterosaur, and Black Arachnia are tunneling under the Maximal base in order to, like, blow it up, because it's kind of on a cliffside. And Rhinox has made this new security system, and because Dinobot and Rattrap are fucking around, the security system identifies everybody as hostile.
Oh, well, that's just prime. That's Optimus Primal's catchphrase.
That's a pretty good catchphrase, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
I like replacing prime, or replacing great with prime, rather. I think we should probably start doing that from now on.
Prime. Prime!
Yeah. Oh, boy. Or giving it the old Maximal try is a thing that they say at one point, which is pretty hilarious as well. But anyway, in a better mousetrap, the security system's all screwed up, and it's kind of cool because it features Rattrap super spying it up inside the Maximal ship to deactivate the security system. But also, a lot of the episode is just kind of everyone else standing around outside the ship shooting at it and nothing happening, which is super boring to watch. But the thing that makes this episode my least favorite is that the end of it, it's implied that Rattrap dies. And, like, that's a thing that annoys me a lot generally, when a show just implies that a character's dead, or, like, you know, is really trying hard to make you feel something for this character when you don't.
Yeah.
And then it's all bullshit. But this episode goes way further than I've ever seen, because it's, like, almost to the point of parody. Because everyone has, like, a eulogy for Rattrap. And then the fucking show does, like, the pinhole, you know, fade out kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the episode's fading to credits.
Yeah, right. On Rattrap being dead. And then, you know, Looney Tunes style, the thing goes back out, and Rattrap comes out, and he's just like, what's wrong? You know, like,
no, I'm not
stupid.
Dead.
Yeah. I'm maximizing here. Like, that kind of thing. It's just dumb. Like, I hated it when Ronin Warriors did it with White Blaze, and this is even worse because it's so over the top. Like, honestly, talking about it now, I'm like, is it parody? Is it meant to be a joke? I can't tell.
Kids.
I don't know, but it's just dumb. I hate it when shows do that stuff. And
yeah,
this show did it, and did it harder than I've seen a lot. So fuck that.
Yeah,
also, Rattrap's great, so if they had killed him off, that would have been pretty sad. Because
I would have stopped watching if Rattrap was on the show. I'm not kidding.
You know what? I would force you to keep watching, but
I mean, I would.
I would get it. I would understand. So we should probably get to our break, and then after that, we'll talk about our thoughts on the show overall and talk about a bet.
Yes.
I'm going to give it a maximal try. Sending signal now.
Beast Wars will return in a moment. Hey, it's Michael, just jumping in during the break, as always, to make sure you're enjoying our show so far and to drop some acknowledgements. Our opening and closing music is, as always, Vapor Diving by Onatech, and you can find more of their music on SoundCloud. Rights were secured through Jamendo. Our next full episode, where we finish the first season of Beast Wars, will be up on May 9th, and next week will be our 8th minisode. As always, you can submit a topic suggestion for our minisodes via DM on facebook.com/HBpod, Twitter @HBpod, or our email hyperspacebroadcastpod@gmail.com.
Your emotion chips are overriding your caution circuits. I insist upon a scouting patrol.
And now, back to Beast Wars. We're back. Let's talk about this show kind of as a whole. So far, we're halfway through season one. The specific episode numbers in this show break down pretty conveniently, so that season one is 26 episodes, and then seasons two and three are both 13. So we can cover it in four episodes of the podcast and very evenly split it up. But halfway through season one, what are your thoughts, Peter?
Well, I found myself enjoying it, kind of despite what I had thought. You know, after breaking through the horrifying buffer of the mainframe effect, what I really found myself enjoying was kind of the cheesy but well-written-ish 90s dialogue between the characters. Like, it's very, like, the whole show is, like, super fucking 90s, like, guitar riffs in every scene.
Yeah, yeah, riffs, I just can't take. They're ridiculous.
Pretty crazy.
And so constant. Like, Black Rachnia's first introduction, there's just this crazy guitar riff, and I was like, man, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah. I've really enjoyed the character dynamics. I like Dinobot a lot, and I like his how he and Rat Trap clash. Rat Trap in general, too, just kind of exemplifies Scott McNeil's performance as Rat Trap. Really exemplifies to me as, like, a perfect balance of, like, 90s kid extreme cheesiness with, like, actually talented voice work that makes it entertaining.
Yeah, right.
And not, like, it's over the top, but it's not too over the top. It's not too self-aware.
Right, yeah, and I can see that.
Something about it is, like, fucking zen perfection to me. Like, I really like that performance, and I really like Rat Trap because of it. And it was, like, it was kind of the first thing for me to be like, you know what? I'm okay keeping watching the show. I like this.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of have similar thoughts. For the most part, this show is very dumb. Like, there have been multiple points where I've just said aloud, this is the dumbest show ever. But it's, you know, I like dumb stuff. I usually think it's pretty funny. And it feels a bit self-aware of how ridiculous it is. There's a lot of characters jumping away from explosions in slow motion, for example, which always
shot
looks
like four times in a row.
Yeah, which always looks insane because it's like a gorilla and a rhino jumping away from an explosion. Like,
yeah, the few scenes you see of characters of a gorilla, a gorilla and a rat riding a rhino is insane.
Or just really anything with Optimus Primal in gorilla form is pretty funny. Like, I don't know why him specifically, but there's a lot of scenes with him that are really hilarious. For someone as easily entertained as I am. But the other thing that I like is, as you mentioned, the character dynamics are interesting. Obviously, Dinobot being in the Maximal team is a cool thing. And the episodes where it looks like they're going to get home somehow and he's kind of unsure about it are pretty interesting as a result of that. Him trying to acclimatize himself to their leadership structure, etc.
And he's not, like, blatantly, like, at first I thought it was like, oh, obviously he's going to be evil and he's going to turn on them. And then it's like, it turns out, no, it's not obvious, actually. He is pretty much on their side, but he still definitely has those tendencies.
Yeah,
but it's
right,
not like
right.
he's clear that he's going to betray, try and betray at any time.
Right, he's no Starscream. Like, yeah,
I thought he was just going to be Starscream.
No, he actually makes a lot of sense. And it's, you know, surprisingly developed writing for a Transformers show in general.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
G1 Transformers, there's nothing remotely like that as far as character writing. Or, you know, any character writing really at all. But, you know, that stuff's fun. I like that the Maximals aren't a completely regimented, you know, competent team. I like that there's some tension between them.
Yeah.
Just makes it more interesting. And, of course, it makes sense given that they're not soldiers, but like an exploration vessel that just kind of got wrapped into this whole thing. The overall plot stuff, what there is kind of interesting, I guess. Unfortunately, I kind of spoiled myself on something unintentionally, so I'll try not to really talk about that, but, you know, so far it's okay. The one thing about this show that's really weird to me is, of course, it looks kind of shitty. Like, you know, of course it does. It's early CG. It doesn't look great at all. But there's one specific problem, which we've alluded to a couple of times, which is I think they just fucked up, Peter. I think they just made a decision that makes sense on its face, but if you think about it, it doesn't work, which is that all of the Maximals are mammals, which are pretty easy to anthropomorphize. Like, you know, a gorilla looks pretty human. So you have all these, like, you know, not cute exactly, but, you know, easy to identify with animals as the good guys. Makes total sense. Whereas the bad guys are insects and reptiles, or rather arthropods and reptiles. So it's harder to identify with them just because they're farther from human.
Yeah. Sure.
However, when they transform, this makes the Maximals just this weird body horror shit, because it's something you can identify with more easily, getting ripped apart so that a robot can come out. Like,
yeah. And they look like fucking walking taxidermy exercises. Yeah.
Rat
like,
Trap just has a flattened rat body on his back. It's fucked up.
It's horrifying. Fucking Rhinox transforms and he has this massive lower jaw with teeth on his chest. Looks really weird.
Yeah, also their fangs, which doesn't make any damn sense. It's a rhino, but
G-Tor 2 just has like his own head on his chest when he transforms.
It's so bizarre. And it's just like again, I get it. It makes total sense. You make the mammals, the easy to identify with characters, the good guys, and then you make the not easy to identify with characters, the bad guys. But the thing is, because the bad guys aren't as easy to identify with, when they transform into robots, it's not that weird at all.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Megatron's cool. Pretty weird because he has a Tyrannosaurus head for a hand. But other than that, they all look pretty normal, you know, for what it is. Like, watching an insect transform into a robot, you know, they're both hard-shelled things. There's nothing strange about it, as opposed to watching a cheetah transform into a humanoid robot. It's just really bizarre.
And it's also pretty horrifying seeing them transform back into a beast.
Yeah, right.
Or back and forth.
Just in general, the transformations are really weird-looking on the Maximals. It's just uncomfortable to look at. And I'm looking forward to getting into the Metals version, where hopefully it'll be less weird. Although, who knows?
Yeah.
But body horror, weird, fucking David Cronenberg-esque stuff aside, we should probably talk about a bet. So we've noticed a couple of trends. Of course, there's Megatron saying yes to himself, which we could bet on how many times he says that, but I think he says it roughly an average of 4 or 5 times an episode, so that might be hard to keep track of, given that we have 13 episodes. The other thing is, Yeah, the other thing is, so far, there have been at least three instances where characters jumped away from explosions.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that would be a pretty decent one. It's, like, such a classic shot, but it looks so goofy when it's a CGI gorilla and a CGI cheetah or whatever.
Like, yeah. Yeah, you know what? Let's go with that one for now.
Okay, we can do the yes later, probably.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I'm sure it'll still be around.
I very much doubt that he will stop that verbal tick. It's pretty essential to his character. So, jumping away from explosions, I'm going to go with twice. I don't think it's going to be that common, but I mean, there are about three times in these 13s, so I think two... No, you know what? Three. I'll go with three because all it right, is the end of the right. season. It's getting more intense.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
We might have some more of Megatron laughing as a thing explodes like 20 times and his face superimposed over it, yeah. Chuckling.
That's a legendary moment that
yeah, no,
we should probably bring to you guys on social media. Right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, that's a thing that good. I'm going to get a clip of because it's amazing to look at.
Just lost it when that happened. I guess I'm gonna go with four.
All right, yeah.
I think the action's gonna ramp up on this, and they're not gonna shy away from characters jumping
away from explosions.
Away.
Classic
from explosions.
All right, neat. Well, I guess that about wraps it up. Unless you have anything else to say about the first half of season one of Beast Wars.
I have one thing to say.
Beast Wars! Oh, yeah, I guess I should mention that the opening credit sequence, like the intro, is ridiculous, of course, because yeah. It's just guitars playing and, you know, quick cuts of crazy-looking CG. But what's really great about it is, and we disagree on this, but I think that the first time that the dude says Beast Wars, because he says it twice, it's like at the beginning at the and at the end, the first time doesn't sound that enthusiastic about it. Like, it's really strange to see this totally rad, like, text, you know, this totally rad font title, and then just have this guy be like, Beast Wars.
Come on, it's not that bad.
It's not, but I do think that he could use a little more enthusiasm, which fortunately sure. He gets by the end of the opening sequence. Because that's pretty intense. Also, I've had the goddamn Beast Wars song stuck in my head for the last couple days. So
nice.
I was like humming it to myself the other day. So
I really? I don't find it that catchy.
It's not, but it gets stuck in my head. I don't know what the problem is.
We've exhausted Beast Wars for today. We'll get back to you guys in 2 weeks with Beast Wars Part 2 and next week with yet another minisode.
Yep, and we'll be finishing off Season 1. Which I'm kind of excited about, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how this wraps up and how they become metallic, which I assume will happen at the end, but probably won't happen until the beginning of season two.
Yeah.
But get some new cool action figure designs, possibly palette swaps of existing characters.
Yeah, hopefully we get some more unique character designs.
Yeah, that would be nice. But until then, I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And you should be sure to revisit us next week. Follow us over at facebook.com/HPPod and Twitter @HPPod, where we post all of our episodes, as well as additional content related to what we've been watching. It's also a great way to get in contact with us, of course. Subscribing on iTunes is also a surefire way to stay up to date, and while you're there, consider leaving us a review.